Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody excited about being in the house of the Lord today? Where all things are possible to those who believe. Where two or more are gathered together in His name. Praise God. Why don't we agree on this? I'm seeing there's several hundred of us in here. Why don't we agree that you're going to take something out of this message and apply it to your life? You know, all the worship and all the praise and all the jumping, it doesn't do much for you when you get home. It doesn't do much for you when you get to areas that are infested with demonic forces coming against you. So let's just bind ourselves together that God would give us the liberty and the freedom to receive His precious word. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we can come into Your holy presence by the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. God, You are awesome and almighty, and we love You, and we praise You, and we worship You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, last week I had my birthday, and there's a lot of dispute going on as to just exactly how old I am. So I wanted to clear some of this up because some of you are thinking I'm misquoting, but let me explain to you how old I am. I was born March 1st, 1942, and I died January 22nd, 1981. So that makes me how old? 31 years. You like it? I'll tell you, I got so many crazy birthday cards. Is Dave Shroud in here? He gave me three cards. One four-year-old for a four-year-old, one for a six-year-old, and one for a 60-year-old, because he said he couldn't find a card for a 70-year-old. He has less hair than I do. Anyway, moving along here. Praise God. I'm excited about this message this morning. You know, sometimes God will give you something that you really need yourself. And this message is something that I truly think that everyone here, whether you have been born again of the water and the Spirit, and or if you are have been here for a good number of years. If you have your Bibles with you, if you turn with me to the sixth chapter of the book of Romans, praise God. Most of you are so familiar with this scripture, but for those of you that may not understand, Paul is writing to the church in Rome and is explaining the gospel that they had received already. So they were aware of Acts 2:38 from the standpoint of repenting of their sins, being baptized in the precious name of Jesus Christ, and being filled with His Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. But he was trying to refine this a little bit. So in Romans, the sixth chapter and the first verse, the Bible says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein? Knowing not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death." That is the first step. We die when we repent. Praise God. "Then we are buried with Him by baptism." How many of you have been baptized and been buried with Him in baptism? Praise God. If you haven't yet today, you certainly can be baptized in the precious name of Jesus Christ. "Even so should we walk in newness of life. If we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection." When we have our own personal resurrection, how many people here have been filled with God's Holy Spirit? You were resurrected. "Old things passed away. Behold, all things had become new." Praise God. If all things had not become new, that's why you probably need to hear this message tonight. Today, rather. Praise God. You may be seated. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. Romans 6:7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Romans 6:8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe also that we live with him. Praise God. It's so important that we understand the salvation process, knowing that when we were baptized and filled with God's Holy Spirit and went down on water baptism, our nature has changed, but our human nature does not change. There are things that we have inherited from family, friends, outlaws, in-laws that are still in us. And of course, we have fallen human nature to deal with. In Colossians 3:2, the Bible says this, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. The title of my message this morning is, I'm dying to be like Jesus. Praise God. I say, I'm dying to be like Jesus. In the process that we just talked about, the repentance, water baptism, and filling the Holy Ghost, that's the initial death. That's the initial time when everything that was counted against us is no longer being held against us. So there's a seed that Jesus put into us when we were filled with his Holy Spirit. And that seed can only bring into fruition what we allow it to bring into fruition. There are people here today, I believe, who have been called to preach. They were called to preach the moment they came out of that water baptism, but they've allowed things to come into their life, perhaps, or they have not continued to die, and they've not fulfilled that what God has called them to be and to do. So that's okay, but you need to understand, if you want to progress up God's chain, if you will, you need to die. Praise God. You need to die to be like Jesus. Human nature, at its very best, is ugly. Human nature that we are all born with is already has a propensity to sin. You don't have to teach yourself to sin. You don't have to teach a little baby to lie. Johnny, did you have a cookie? Chocolate all over his mouth, crumbs on the side. Nope. Nope, I didn't. I didn't, Daddy. Go into your room. You just told a lie. Praise God. John 12:24, Jesus talks about this law of the seed. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. How many of you want to bear much fruit? Praise God. And I want not only much fruit, but I want my fruit to remain. I want to be able to stand in front of God someday and give an account for my life and have him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I don't want to have to stand there and try to explain my sins of omission. You know, when you come into this type of atmosphere, it's easy to get caught up into church. It's easy to think everything's okay. But, you know, you can look back sometimes and find that you haven't really progressed any. Or sometimes you even went in the wrong direction. God forbid. It's possible because you have a human nature. And for you to progress, you're going to have to die. Praise God. You know, when we are born again, we receive a new nature. But I really believe that that nature is a seed. It is a seed that we must continue to nurture. We continue to work at it and continue to plow up the fallow ground of our hearts until we begin to see fruit coming forth in our life. And this is where a lot of folks get kind of derailed, if you will. They're doing well the first 6 months or 6 years even sometimes, and then they come to a point where they kind of stop going into the garden and weeding it. And suddenly, before they know it, the things that were precious to them, the things that they were held dear to their heart, no longer have the same intensity, the same passion. Praise God. And it's just something that's in our human nature. We are set free from the bondage of sin when we are born again. God does everything. He did everything on the cross. And it's a gift. You can't earn it. You can't good enough for it. It's just plain there. Praise God. If you're here today and you've never been baptized in the precious name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, if you've never received God's Holy Spirit, I'm going to give you a chance to die. That's the only thing that you have to do to receive Jesus. You need to die on the inner man. And that just basically means you are willing to repent. Praise God. Turn from your wicked ways. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, the world has its own system of wickedness, and they have this perception about that so far removed from the gospel that they don't even have a clue where the line is anymore. No, people are struggling with issues that should never be debated. They're talking about things that God's already pronounced judgment on some of these things, and yet they're still debating and they're pushing their agendas on everything and everybody. But praise God. We need to keep in mind that our human nature still exists. It will always be with us. It's always fallen. That doesn't mean that that's futility. It just means be aware of it. Understand that because you have received what you've received, that doesn't put you in position to receive eternal salvation. What can happen, and this is something that I've seen in my life, and maybe you've seen it yourself, but it's easy to get entangled again, not in what we consider to be the sin that, you know, we think of the big sin as being, you know, the big 10, if you will. But see, God's looking at our entire life. He's looking at our thoughts. He's looking at our attitude. He's looking at the intent of our heart. He's looking at our attitude and our spirit. Are we Christians? They were first called Christians, the Bible says, at Antioch. So I don't think it was because they put a sign on their door. I don't think it's because it says, I'm an Antioch Christian. I think it was because something inside of them came out. The love of Jesus Christ became so strong that it drew other people to them. But praise God, it is possible to be entangled again. 2 Peter 2:20. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Jesus Christ, they again entangle therein and overcome. The latter is worse with them than the beginning. If you find yourself re-entangled, don't dismay. Don't stop coming to church. Don't hide. Just stand up and begin to die again. Just stand up and be a man and decide, listen, I can do this. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. But you need to remember, you have to examine yourself. Don't examine yourself based upon Mike Bakken or Rich Thomas or Pastor Roy. You examine yourself based on the Word of God. Am I living to the standard that God has given me? Is there a point in my life where I had more spirituality than I have now? Is there a time when I was hot, if you will, not cold or lukewarm? If that's the case, die a little bit. Repent. Ask God to bring you back home. Be the prodigal in your heart. Run to Jesus. He will meet you. He will leave the house, and you'll feel him when you first start the run. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. You know, because who would have ever thought, at least I would have never thought, that I'd be standing behind a pulpit back in 1981. I didn't know that God had put a seed in there. I was a drywall finisher like these two gentlemen on the front seat here. So I never considered that I had anything in me that could be of value in the kingdom of God. In fact, I had such a low self-esteem. I just didn't think, I was just happy to be here. You know, once you understand salvation, once you have this experience, if this doesn't excite you and doesn't keep you on fire for God, you need to go back and die a little bit for Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. So some of you no doubt are sitting here this morning and you've almost given up hope because you think, you know what? You know, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I just can't get it right. Die some more. Get on your knees and die some more. Don't ever, 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 ever give up. Ever. Regardless. Listen, the consequences of giving up are horrendous. You don't even want to go there. But listen, why not just stand up and accept the promises of God. All things are possible to those who believe. I said, all things are possible to those who believe. I don't care how many times you've dropped the ball. I don't care how many times you've left the Lord. I can just say this. He will meet you wherever you come. He doesn't look for ways to condemn you. He looks for ways to lift you up. Praise God. So we must always be looking into our human nature. We must always be examining ourselves. We need to look and find out where we are standing. You know, I call it the law of the scoreboard. You know, if you went to a ball game or you listened to a ball game or whatever, you would want to know what the score was, wouldn't you? What would the sense be of having a contest, a sport contest or any contest or quizzing or whatever you might be involved in? And it'd say, well, who won the tournament? Don't know. What do you mean you don't know? We didn't keep score. Well, what's the purpose then? See, God's keeping score. God has everything written down. See, I want to be dying every day to be more like Jesus. I want to have his giant eraser out there and taking all the negatives out of the Lamb's book of life. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sin and all of our iniquity. This is after you've been baptized and after you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. You can continue to die daily, the Apostle Paul said. Praise God. Praise God. You know, having been a business owner for a good number of years, for 25 years, and then getting into the kingdom of God, it's a real process to be able to try to balance business in Jesus and keep those things intact and make sure that Jesus Christ is the focal point of your whole life. But you need to go out just like you would if you planted a garden. You need to go out there every single day and weed it. Go through it and pick out the weeds. Get them while they can still be picked up. You know, if you let a weed get, you know, dandelions are the craziest things. You just try to pull the top of dandelions off. Go out there in 2 days and they're right back again. But you know, you have to hit one of those dandelion stickers. You got to dig, and then you got to wiggle, then you slowly pull it up. And I think that's what happens with us. Jesus has done everything he's going to do for you at the new birth experience. From that point on, you are on your own when it comes to salvation. The Bible says you must work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Praise God. So don't take anything for granted. You are headed towards an eternal destiny that supersedes anything that we can even ask or think about. We're going to be living in a place that we can't even comprehend. And all we have to do is follow the book. We'll never be happy. We'll never be satisfied. We'll never be fulfilled unless we have lined ourselves up with the book. I don't know about you, but I've gotten off the beaten path on several occasions when I first came in particularly. And I remember God speaking to me one time. And I couldn't figure out what was going on. Things were not, you know, when you first come in, everything seems like you're on a cloud, and the angels of God are around you, and oh, you get the warm fuzzies, and everything's beautiful, and everybody in church is perfect, and oh, I mean, it's so cool. You're sitting on this great perch, you know, and you're looking, and you're sitting in heavenly places, and then one day you wake up, and what is this? You look around, and you start seeing things the way they really are, and God then forces you to search out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Praise God. I remember when God spoke to me and I'm praying. I said, God, what's wrong with me? He said, you're not dead. I said, what? What do you mean I'm not dead? You've allowed things to come into your life. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. And they have choked out your experience. You're not dead, but you need to die out to these things. Once you identify something that's holding you back, it could be something as small as a root of bitterness. Go to God. Die out to that so you can be more like Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. This is a never-ending process. As long as you're alive, you'll be struggling with your flesh. Your human nature will always be there. Some people are dismayed, and I've actually talked to people who says, I can't believe I'm doing this or doing that. I'm just so disappointed in myself. No, just die. Just simply ask God to forgive you and start the process again. He understands your, he knows your weaknesses. And unfortunately, a lot of people, they tell everybody about their weaknesses, and the devil, who cannot read your mind, he's got a notebook out and he says, oh, Thomas, good one. Yeah. Weak. Oh, bad attitude. Yep. So suddenly all the thoughts that you don't want to think are coming into your mind. Why is that? Because the enemy is shooting the fiery darts at you because you've already told him what the problem is and what circumstances are in your life. Instead of quoting the solution to your problem, you're quoting the problem. You ever been there? I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that's that unspiritual, but every time that's happened to me, I realize that there's something in my life that needs to die. Praise God. Praise God. The question that the Lord asked me that day, he said, how can you say you love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength when there's parts of your heart that are still in darkness? There's still parts of you that you have not submitted to me. There's certain areas in all of us that we have to work out. Working out our own salvation means that we need to let the light of Jesus Christ in every part of our heart. And it's difficult sometimes because many of the things that happen to us happen when we were just kids. And we received things from people that didn't have a godly foundation. So those things, a lot of times, are trapped in our subconscious mind. And it takes a move of God's Holy Spirit or a negative reaction on your part, because that's how do we find out we need help? How do we know that there's something going on that we need help with? It's when something bubbles up to the surface where you realize, oops, that's not supposed to be there. So Paul said to examine ourselves, do a checkup from the neck up. There's some things that people who are dead to the world and the things of the world, dead men will seek for ways to witness to the lost. Praise God. If you have a hunger and a thirst for the things of God, you will be creative in finding ways to share this gospel. You will not be satisfied just walking into a place and not feeling the overwhelming sense of the fact that you're no doubt the only person in the building that's saved. And all these people here, there's certainly, Lord, there's someone in here that would respond to this witness. Dead men seek to pray without ceasing. They look for ways to pray. They're creative. They not only pray the 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes, but they understand that they need to keep score. I was born again in January of 1981. What's the score now? I used to pray an hour a day. Am I praying an hour a day, or am I back to 10 minutes a day? Where am I at? You know, we have to understand that if we're not going forward, we're going backwards. It's just that simple. And we never get so spiritual that we do not need to understand that that's part of the way we get to heaven. Working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Dead men do not live by bread alone. Dead men are hungry, and they develop a hunger for the word of the Lord. Something inside of them gets to the point where the only book that really makes any sense is the good book. And the only way to receive that type of hunger is to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not have to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we do not displace the thinking that's in our hearts and minds with the word of God, we'll always be reverting back to our human nature. We need to build strongholds in ourselves around the weaknesses that we know are there. And anybody have a weakness besides me? You don't have to put your hand up, but nevertheless, we all know we've got things that we need to address. We have attitudes that sometimes come over us. Sometimes gossip comes, and before you know it, you're involved in saying things that you shouldn't be saying or doing things that you shouldn't be doing. Okay, die out to gossip. People who are dead, they don't gossip. You have to force them to gossip, and then they won't listen to you. Praise God. Dead men will humble their souls with fasting. the F word that we don't like to think about. We need to humble our soul with fasting, because if we don't humble our soul with fasting, listen, you will have weeds in your garden that are just waiting to spring up. There are seeds in there that are laying dormant, and they're not good seeds, they're bad seed. And if you don't fast periodically, you will never get these things out of your life. They'll keep coming back again and again and again. Fasting is not a bad word, friend. It's a vehicle that God's given His church to come to a place where you humble your soul, you put your human nature in subjection to the Word of God. And I've heard people say, I can't fast. Yes, you can. Jesus would have never told you to do anything that would harm your body. And until the last 50 years or so, there's probably 1,000 books out there that were written in the 1800s and 1900s. And every one of them extolled fasting as being a tremendous way to restore your health. When does your body get an opportunity to cleanse itself and to clean up your sticky blood that's filled with cheeseburgers? Think about it. Now, not only that, but for the blood of Jesus Christ to flow through and in you, and you need to have that periodic fast to keep those things flowing into you as well. You don't want to have hardening of the arteries, spiritually speaking, because there can become a time, the Bible says, the hardness of your heart. You can't receive some things. You just can't receive them. You know it's there, but you can't get there. So a good fast will take this type of attitude out of you. Praise God. Dead men will control their temper. Dead men understand that their temper is something that will cause them to defile people. A root of bitterness gets up inside of you. It is difficult to get that root of bitterness out of you because it's so justifiable in the human nature because of what this person or that person may have said or done. But listen, Jesus said, turn the other cheek, be kind to those people who despitefully use you. Hallelujah. Isn't that fun to do that? When your boss comes on you like gangbusters for something he's done and he tries to make you look bad so he feels better about his own dumb mistake. You ever had that happen? I have. Some of these things are not, most of the things God asks us to do cannot be done unless you're dying daily. You have to die daily. You have to die daily. Praise God. Hallelujah. Dead men look for ways to present their bodies to God as a living sacrifice. Praise God. Dead men look for ways to present their body to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is only reasonable because of what He's done for us. You know, when we tune up this spiritual machine God's given us, you know, things just start falling into place. If you truly are working at it, God will bless your effort. If you've turned to a direction and say, this is a process, I understand it's a process, because as soon as you think everything's cool, boom, here comes the next level. And you think, oh my goodness, I thought, no, that's just the next level. See, if you really want to do something for Jesus Christ, you're going to have to work your way through a maze of humanity, which is you. It's between your left and your right ear that you're fighting. It's not anything or anybody, it's you. What is it? Peanut said, I've met the enemy, it is me. That's the problem. It's just plain old you. Turn to your neighbor and said, it's all about me. See, if you change your attitude, if you change your spirit, those people around you will change their attitude and their spirit. Because the Bible says, as a man sows, so shall he reap. If you don't have any friends, it's because you're not friendly. But if you make yourself friendly and force yourself out of your shell, you will find as many friends as you can possibly handle. Praise God, praise God. So we don't conform to this world, we're transformed. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't get an attitude of that you God owes you something or God needs to punish somebody. If anybody needs to be punished, it's Rich Thomas. If anybody needs to be chastised, it's me. Because I remember who I was before I came into this thing. I understand who I was. I understand the horrible human nature that I was born with. So please never get to a point where you think that you've got anything going with God. It all comes down to fruit. Are you bearing fruit? Is your life showing signs of life? Are you going to be able to stand in front of God someday and say, well done, my good and my faithful servant, based upon what's going on in your life? This is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. Dead men will hear the voice of their shepherd. This is sometimes can be very difficult, particularly if you have not died out to some of the other things. The Bible says sometimes our prayers are shut up. God, it's just like heaven is like brass. It's because we've ignored those proddings and those things that God's already asked us to do. And yet we're seeking to receive things that he wants to give us, but he can't until we get to the point where we'll get rid of the little foxes, get rid of those things that are around us and are hurting us. Praise God. So I want to hear his voice. Think how life would be if you heard his voice like you're hearing my voice. What would it be like? You go to the book of Acts. It's pretty amazing when you read between the lines where the Holy Spirit talked to various people in the book of Acts and told them exactly where to go, what to say, and how to say it. See, God doesn't really need anything but our availability. We sometimes try to become supercharged Christians by stuffing ourselves full of religion and in Bible. But see, if you'd be willing to just go when he tells you, if you'd be willing to open your mouth in the supermarket and talk to somebody about their eternal destiny, not forcing anybody, but let's face it, there has to be somebody that's hungry in your neighborhood. Somebody, you know, if the fields are white and ready for harvest, I have to assume that somebody in your circle is hungry. You say, I don't think anybody at my job's hungry. How do you know? Have you prayed for them? Have you fasted for them? Have you asked God to reveal these people to you so you could become a witness unto them? And let God decide who's ready and who's not ready. Let God decide who's going to be heirs of salvation. But we have this little mindset sometimes, well, they'd never receive that. Oh, no, that wouldn't work. My husband would never come to this. Oh, yes, he will. If we start praying a prayer of faith, the Bible says an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Don't ever think in your heart of hearts that there are people who can't be saved. Your prayers are going to make the difference whether they will be saved or not be saved. Your intensity, your passion, your love for God, your ability to communicate is going to come because of what's inside of you, what you've put there, what you've caused, the amount of dying that you do every day. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Praise God. Dead men will hunger and thirst after God's righteousness, because man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Dead men will feel like there's a fire shut up in their bones, because when you get all the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and you've taken and put the plow into the soil of your heart, boy, you understand that all these thousands and thousands of hours of study and all these messages that you've heard and all the things that you've had on a spiritual experience, they're still there. They're waiting for an opportunity to grow. They're waiting for an opportunity to come to fruition. Praise God. So dead men feel like there's a fire shut up in their bones. They can't wait to minister to somebody. I'm not talking about standing up here. I'm talking about just the fact that you understand eternity. You understand that there is a God, there is a heaven, there is a hell, there is a destination that every single person in this building is going to either heaven or to hell. Every person on your workplace has an eternal destiny. And God has put you there and put me there to be the voice, praise God, that will allow them this opportunity. We don't know who is going to receive this, and it's really not our job to know it. And you can go crazy trying to figure out who's going to receive it and who's not going to receive it. But I've found over the years that it's usually the people that you've already written off are the ones who are the hungriest. Those people that you thought, oh, they'd never receive this. Listen, those that are whole don't need a physician. Those who are broken, God deals in broken. God deals in people who are hurting. He deals in people who have had things torn out of them, that have had a broken heart. And he wants to take that garment, the spirit of heaviness, and put the garment of praise and worship. God just so delights when people receive this. The Bible says that there's actually a little party in heaven. The angels of God say, all right, here comes one down at Calvary Gospel Church. So everybody starts dancing and rejoicing around the throne room. That is so cool to think that we can create a party atmosphere right here at Calvary Gospel Church. And him says, oh, they're at it again. And another one comes. And Brother Scott brought in a man from his work here a Thursday. And this man was hungry. And within minutes, he was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why did that happen? It happened because Brother Scott was hungry to share something. You know, have all this information and never be able to share it with anybody. It's not so much not sharing. Sometimes we're not willing to. We are too busy to. We don't think it's our responsibility. That's the pastors. That's the, no. We have been called to be witnesses unto him. We're not called to be soul winners. We're called to be witnesses. Witnesses. What are you witnessing about? You? No, you're witnessing about him. You know, people around you have problems. I don't know if you knew that or not. They're having problems with their kids. They're having problems with their relationships. They're having problems with their neighbors. They're having all kinds of problems, employment problems, financial problems. The amazing thing is God's already figured it all out. He has a solution for everything that's going on in your life. Now, you cannot receive these things unless you're willing to die. Sometimes it's unbelief, Scott. You've got to die out with unbelief. The Bible says this type does not come out but by prayer and fasting. So we have to get to a place where we're constantly, constantly looking for ways to die. Praise God. Paul warns the church in 1 Peter 2 and 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Now you'd think this would be a common sense thing. You'd think that there's a war going on and your fallen human nature has an appetite all of its own. But you know, I don't know if you've ever been, well, I guess everybody's been to a zoo, but at the zoo they say, please do not feed the animals. There's a reason for that sign. There should be a sign in our heart, please do not feed your human nature. Do not allow your eyes to see things that are going to cause you to have problems with things. Do not allow your spirit to be fed things that God has already delivered you from. Praise God. I was talking to a very wise lady the other day, and she was telling me about TV. And she said, well, you want to know how I got over TV and movies and that? I said, no, tell me. She said, well, I was watching this television program, and suddenly God spoke to me. Now, it wasn't a bad program, just one of the normal junk things on television. And God spoke to her and said, why are you allowing things to come into your heart that I have just delivered you from? Why are you exposing yourself to things that will cause you problems? You're feeding the wrong nature. You're allowing, you can get an appetite for things that are so bizarre. Why do you think these crazy horror movies and all these abstract, it's just crazy. I mean, I don't go to movies, but I've seen some of the advertisements and everything, and you just wonder, what in the world, why would anybody want to go so you could see somebody's throat get cut and blood gush out and eyeballs gouged out and guy 150 people are shot? How does that enhance what's inside of you? How does that bring you closer? I mean, does that make sense? Why are we feeding the human nature? Why are we allowing things to come our way? Praise God. If you want to make heaven your home, don't feed the flesh. It will never, ever, 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 ever get enough. You can create such an unholy appetite. You know, sin is like yeast. The Bible calls it leaven. Just a little bit gets into your life. Just a little bit. It could lay dormant in there for years, and then all of a sudden you'll find out that there comes this roaring lion out of its cage. Praise God. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. Here's some more instructions of ways to die. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? In what communion hath light with darkness? That's a common sense thing. If you've got people from your past that you continually want to hang around with, listen, this is going to cause some major problems for you. Come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. He will not receive you unless you have turned away from these unclean things, those things that are causing problems for you. But the moment you decide to die to those things, and the moment you decide to be more like Jesus, God is right there always ready to do whatever needs to be done. Solomon wrote this, all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. No matter what's going on in your life on a physical level, you'll never get enough of it. You cannot get enough money. You can't have a big enough house. You cannot have a bigger job. It all boils down to this. You cannot be satisfied with the world nor the things of the world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, they're out there. Everybody has to work their way through them. You'll have to die to the lust of your eyes. You'll have to die to the lust of your flesh. You'll have to die to the pride issues that are in your life. You can't make it unless you're willing to die. You cannot make it unless you're willing to die. Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Jesus Christ has already promised. If we do our part, he'll do his part. Praise God. Now, there is a secret path. The Bible talks about that will lead you to a place that you cannot be touched by evil. You believe that? There's a place in God that you can get to that you will not, cannot be touched. Job 28:7. There is a place which no fowl knoweth, which the vulture's eyes have not seen. The lion's whelps have not trodden, nor the fierce lion passed by it. This is indicative of the demonic forces that come against us. Vultures are representing, first thing a vulture goes for is your eyes. He wants to take your vision away. He wants to take your hope away. He wants to take your peace away. So he goes for your eyes. The lion's whelps are those new temptations that you didn't even know were temptations. Praise God. But there is a secret place that you can be out of that. The fierce lion represents that old lion's been chasing you since day one. The one that has come back to you again and again and again and again. Listen, you don't have to put up with that. There is a path, and that secret path is prayer. It's a place where you can get into prayer to a dimension that will hide you from your enemy. It doesn't come easily, but the three dimensions of prayer starts with discipline, turns to desire, and it comes to delight. It's in the delight phase that you have this perfect peace that passeth all understanding. When you delight in the Lord with all of your heart, you reach the point where you are in the secret path. You've been there, some of you been there, some of you haven't. But listen, strive for that place where it is such a joy to be in the presence of the Lord. This is where the joy unspeakable and full of the glory of God comes from. This secret path keeps you hidden from the world and the things of the world. This puts you in a dimension that few people can get into because they will not discipline themselves until they get a desire, until it becomes the delight of their life. This is the secret path. Psalm 16:11, the Bible tells us, what are we going to find when we get onto that secret path? See, some of you are sitting here today and you're resting upon mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and people within the church. It can become very easy to become surrounded by spiritual people and think that somehow you're okay because of their spirituality. Psalms 16:11, the Bible says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." Oh, I like this part. "In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." When you're seeking these things that you cannot seem to find, they're in that secret path, that joy unspeakable, and the peace that passeth all understanding, and the relationship with God that will cause you to have passion just flowing out of you. Praise God. Sometimes God allows things to come your way. It's like a potter with the clay. He'll take, when you think everything is just perfect, all of a sudden you're up. And he's molding you, and he's causing some pain when you, he wants to get that perfection. He's looking for that perfect peace. He's making a vessel that's pure and holy and undefiled before him. Listen, you can't get into heaven unless you're willing to die unto Jesus. If you have sin on your life, you think somehow God's going to just let you in because you've been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost 20 years ago? No, absolutely not. Today is the day that the Lord hath made, and you need to rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Godly sorrow will return when you get on that secret path. 2 Corinthians 7:10. When you learn how to die, and if you're dying daily, you'll be in this. 2 Corinthians 7:10. "For godly sorrow worketh repentance." Repentance is death to salvation. Not only to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. It's one thing the world feels. I hear people who are crying on the media over having been caught, and they really feel bad about it. And they that's godly sorrow. They would have never confessed that sin had it not been exposed. But now they want everybody to forgive them. But if you precede that, praise God, godly sorrow will draw you to a place where you will be able to receive what God has for you and will take away those things. And you'll be so willing to die. The Bible says that, "For behold, this selfsame thing that you sowed after a godly sort." And there's seven things here that the Bible talks about. If you have godly sorrow, there's carefulness in your spirit. You don't want to go back there. I mean, the very things that God delivered you from is wrought in you. What clearing of yourselves? Don't you just love it when God shows you something and you have the wherewithal to go into your closet and pray and ask God to forgive you? And you just, don't you feel clean? Don't you feel pure? Don't you feel something inside of you? And if you have an understanding of the scripture, now it's just as if the day you came out of the water baptism in Jesus' name, there's not one thing on the record book. If you die daily, you can't have hidden things of dishonesty. You can't have all these things that plague people. What indignation. Boy, I tell you, somebody that has daily died, they're hot after the devil. They want to expose him. They want to help people who are struggling with these basic issues of life. They want revenge. What fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is when you fear the Lord. Jesus said this. He said, "Don't fear those people that can just kill the body. Fear me, because I can take your body and your soul and cast it into hell." Godly fear is a great thing. Listen, it's not the type of fear that it's terror. What it is your love for Jesus Christ, your respect for him, the way you think about him is so pure and so holy that the only thing you fear is that you would do anything that would offend him. It's like a husband and a wife who are madly in love. You don't want to say or do anything that would cause your wife harm or, well, one time I did. I did. Sometimes our temper gets the best of us, but you follow what I'm saying. So we want to develop that intimate relationship with the Almighty God. What vehement desire, what zeal, what revenge. In all things, you are proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. So godly sorrow bringeth forth death That's the best way to die, is once you've examined yourself and you understand that there are things that need to be addressed, just go to God. Die out to those things. Renew the right relationship with Him. Praise God. I know there's people here this morning that are feeling something inside of them. I'm talking about people that maybe have not come into this assembly very often. I believe that there's people right here this morning that are going to be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. And there's a reason I believe that, because I think the Word of God is quick and more powerful than any two-edged sword. You're not here by accident. You're here because the God of creation is calling you. The Bible says we don't come to God. We come to Him because He first loved us. He calls us. People pray for you, and you are called to this place in this time. Praise God. So if you're feeling something inside of you, I remember clearly what I felt on the day of my salvation. It was like a burning inside of me. It was, I couldn't contain it. It was like a fire. I don't know what it was. It was the Holy Ghost, obviously, but I started weeping. I couldn't stop weeping. I didn't know why I was weeping. And I'd lived this crazy lifestyle, and I could hardly believe that God could forgive me for everything that I'd have done. Yet He did. Take the next step. If you'd stand with me. Do you know the Bible says in Romans 2 and 4, "Or despise thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance or death?" See, it's God's goodness, because He knows you can't make it into eternity in the way that you are right now. You have to repent. You have to be baptized. You have to be filled with His Holy Spirit. But if you're feeling something inside of you this morning, let me tell you something. You're at the right place at the right time, because God's calling you today. I remember coming to that altar. I was there for an hour, just weeping and crying. Oh, for the very first time, I had felt godly sorrow. And I was willing to do whatever had to be done. I didn't care who was here. I didn't care who was looking at me. I didn't care about anything but Jesus. I wanted to get right with Jesus. I wanted to accept His gracious offer. I didn't know anything about it, but I could sense this. Some of you are here today, and I believe this is your day. This is the day that God has called you to that place. Now, you can walk out of here. Nobody's going to force you to do anything. But if you will just basically be willing to die today, not that physical death, but that spiritual death, to allow the presence of God to come. Is there anybody here this morning who's willing to die? Do you remember that old nursery rhyme we all said when we were kids? If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless mom and dad. Listen, you don't have to wait till tonight to pray that prayer. You can leave this building today. Today. You can know today that God has received your soul.